Good morning, Patriots. And it is a good morning, though the week is flying by. And of course, next week is our big event, Bards Fest. So let me just play this little promo for you. Greatest events in history is about to happen, and it's going to happen right here in Hazelwood, Missouri. Bards Fest, a celebration of God, family, and country that will forge memories and fellowship for a lifetime. Bards Fest is from the 26th to the 29th of August, and will bring together God-fearing, Christ-loving patriots from all over the United States and the world to celebrate His glory, His might, and His love. We have one mission, to shake the foundations of the world with the glory of God. Bards Fest is an assembly of patriots coming together to pray for truth, to inspire action through knowledge and resources, to celebrate fellowship and family, and above all, to celebrate the Word of God. We are a nation adrift, wandering in the desert of spiritual darkness. Bards Fest is a renewal, a revival, a reawakening of God's glory as the foundation of our great nation. It is the forge to recreate the new republic on the bedrock of In God We Trust. Beginning on Thursday, August 26th, Bards Fest will run from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then will have its final day on Sunday, August 29th, starting at 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Speakers include Pastor Dave Scarlett, Pastor Butch Paul, Pastor Mike Spaulding, Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor John Benzinger, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor Casper McLeod, and Pastor Travis Graham. Other speakers include Mike Lindell, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Clay Clark, Dr. Carrie Midday, Jim Pugh, Seth Holhouse, Jamie Walden, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Brian Artist, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Pam Popper, Coach Dave, Attorney Tom Renz, Jeff Weitzman. And each day we will celebrate with prayer and worship music, as well as just great concerts to end the day. One of those performers is Brian Kahanek, who you're listening to right now with his album that was released just for this festival, Coming Home. Bards Fest is designed to be an extravaganza for the family. This is a location suited just for that. St. Louis County's Powerplex, also known as Drive-In St. Louis, has both outdoor and indoor state-of-the-art facilities. In the outdoor, we have entertainment with state-of-the-art stage and Megatron, and even a carnival environment that all members of the family will enjoy. The indoor part has entertainment for the family as well, from a skating rink to a ninja course to breakout areas where you can meet many of the speakers, meet many vendors from around the country and around the state, and learn things that you can take back to home to take action to help retake this nation back to its roots of God and Constitution. Bards Fest is designed first and foremost to put God first. So join us August 26th, August 29th in Hazelwood, Missouri at the Powerplex, also known as Drive-In St. Louis. The event is open for everyone. We want everyone to attend. This is about God first and resetting our nation as our founding fathers intended it to be. So go to www.bardsfest.com to get more information. We look forward to seeing you there.
Time to get your tickets, Patriots. Time to get on over there. And if you can't attend, I'd love to have your donations help support the online streaming. All that's available at bardsfest.com. And, of course, on the 27th of August, we have MyPillow, and that's Mike Lindell's MyPillow speaking. Mike Lindell's going to be there. That's our Slipper Revolution Day. So get on over to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and or frankspeech.com. Use your code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for great savings on amazing products. Make sure you grab yourself a pair of my slippers when you're there. Well, this morning, Patriots, we're going to step back a minute and take a look at, begin with a Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. We have an inheritance, it's part of God's covenant to us. And it's not a one-way street. I think for so long it has been. But the duplicitous nature in which humankind has operated and its deceitfulness to one another is just stunning. We can justify it in terms of bloodlines and look at the different ways that people are as if one is different than the other. But the bottom line is that as God's children, our mission here is to steward, to occupy the land, and to expand the kingdom. Nowhere in that definition did it say for us to stand by and let a bulldozer roll us over and ultimately try to bury us in some sort of mass grave. And that's exactly what's been happening. Is that as Christians, we have become so weak and feckless in our ability to stand that we've allowed a deceitful, maniacal, crazy group of people to stand up, to be vicious, to be aggressive, and to roll us up. And before our very eyes, because of the lack of time that we've taken in Scripture, we've allowed the same thing to happen within our churches. We can see that with most notably Franklin Graham, who literally has told people that Christ would take the shot and has encouraged his people to take the shot. So just to put that in context, he's saying that Christ would take the shot. But as we learned yesterday, while federal employees and the military are required to take the shot, the new administration, the hand puppet of China, is not required to take the shot if they don't choose to. What is good for you is not necessarily good for me. You see, where we sit right now is a place in this world where either we make a choice to stand and come together boldly in God's name as God is our foundation and push that back against us, or we literally are going to witness what it's like to have one big virtual bulldozer put us all into a mass grave and bury us. And we're going to ask ourselves what happened. And what happened is we failed in being God's children in this world. We're created in the image of God. And if we're created in the image of God, that also means that we have enormous strength. We have enormous capability and purpose here, greater than we've imagined. But that purpose and strength had nothing to do with us getting swept up into the material consumptive world that we're currently in. It's a strength of godliness. And that's the biggest question, is what's happened to all of that? And we know. We sold it. We gave it away. Just like our unalienable rights as a nation, we handed them away. This is all going to fall back on the remnant to be able to restore this nation back to its prowess and back to its footing. But it's not going to happen by the mass. The masses, as we can see, because of their godless ways in which they walk, have become succumbed and lured into a massive curse, a curse which centers around, and more than a curse, it's as if they're put into some sort of a trance, a spell. And it all centers around their fear, in one way or another, of losing their position as material consumers in this world. I got roared the other day of some guys down in some of our most elite squadrons, special operations squadrons, that have now bowed to the shot. And what that translates to me is that they willfully got their nuts cut off because they're more concerned about their pension and more concerned about their retirement than they are about themselves and the duty to nation, to God and nation. Sadly, even our military, this corruption is deep because the priorities of life are settled down not on the constitutional oath that they swore, not on their love of God, but on their preservation of what's in this world and what they've accumulated for benefits. They have lost their way. That's something that only a remnant can fix, and only God can fix it with them. The problem we have right now is deep. It's a systemic corruption across this globe, and it's rotted the very soul and heart of so many. Until you lose everything, people often don't realize what they actually have. And unfortunately, we're spiraling into a place where we may see and we may witness losing everything. We'll have to see. But when we witness what just happened in Afghanistan, we witness what it's like to lose everything suddenly, and you notice how well this government backed up those people. This government is going to do the same thing as this thing continues to roll forward, because there are good people in the government, but they're weak, and there's way too many that walk a path without God, and way too few that truly understand the dedication of being within the realm of God and to walk as God's children. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Our Constitution was blessed by this nation, given to us by our Creator, and part of that was unalienable rights. Only he could take them away. Today, we witnessed how that works, because unalienable rights are only as good as us preserving them unless we willfully give them away, which is exactly what we have done. The rules of the world in which we work are pivoting right now on a principle of free will. Most everything that we are living through, no matter how difficult, is free will. The free will to choose, the free will to decide which direction you want to go, the free will whether you're going to take a shot, or the free will whether you're going to comply. No one said that not complying wouldn't have consequences, but it nonetheless is free will. And since they control the game and they control the entire playboard that we're living in, our decision has to be whether we're going to walk the path of God and obey God's will, or whether we're going to obey their will. We were warned, we were told that if we pursue this life behind Christ, we would be persecuted. But I don't think that many ever comprehended that it would happen in their lifetime, or that it would be them, because it was always a convenient optic to be able to say Christ sacrificed for us. But what about us now walking that path to sacrifice for the many in the name of the Lord? Are you ready? Are you able? Because this is where we are. We are in a place right now where it is going to take the dedication of the many to walk that path of Christ. A remnant that truly understands that for such a time as this, those words reflect deeply into your willingness to commit everything in life and through death. The nation that we have right now is fragmented, broken, wandering, adrift. It is going to take a dedicated, focused, motivated core element to reset it, to stand boldly in the gap and fearlessly as we march forward. It's not for everybody, but as God has shown us with Gideon, he doesn't need more than 300, but let us hope that it's more than 300. If we had 80 million patriots in this nation being able to stand up to this and say, I'm not playing anymore, I'm not going to go to work if they inject me, I'm not going to buy from a company that promotes vaccines. I'm not going to comply to a government that turns its back on a nation suddenly and leaves thousands of people at risk for their lives, including up to 40,000 Americans who they've told simply to shelter in place. That government is the hand puppet of the elites. That government is bowing down and putting us through a ritual humiliation so that we can never rise again as a nation, never be trusted in the world again. Well, they've succeeded well. They're one step closer. It's continuing to happen because Americans are afraid to stand up. What would happen if a million people stormed Washington, D.C.? Not a million, maybe 10 million even. What would happen? What would happen if the 80 million refused to obey the laws? What would happen if soldiers actually followed their oath rather than the direct orders from their senior commander that have no relevance to their oath? What would happen if Americans started to have a backbone again and put God on this throne and bowed to him first to heal this land and then followed that place of unalienable rights to ensure that tyrants wouldn't take them away? How long would this mess continue? And the answer is it would end probably in 30 to 60 days. It would literally fall apart. Our lack of compliance, our demanding of accountability, the unwillingness to accept what school boards force down our throat. Why do we become so willful? Why do we accept that somebody that sits in a position, whether voted in or voted or nominated in, paid or unpaid, why do we accept that they can dictate to us where we sit? And part of that is, sadly, is the inculcation of obedience within the pew of our churches. The belief that we must obey a government. The misuse of Romans 13 to where we must obey a dark lord of a government and not obey the will of God. That's what our churches have done. For a large perspective, large part of this country, our churches have been teaching obedience and submission. That is not the Christian way. Our role has always been defiance. Christ was one of the greatest revolutionaries and radicals of all time, if not the greatest. Paul was the same. All the disciples represented defiance, pushing forward and accepting whatever consequences came. Where is that will? Where is that will to fight? Much of it has been removed. It has been done through the indoctrination into a guilt, into a belief that God doesn't want you to just suffer the pain. That does not prove true. Could you imagine if God asked David to suffer the pain, in which case David would have been picked up by Goliath, would have been broken into pieces and had his head physically ripped off his body for the birds to eat. Goliath promised him that. Where is that fighting spirit within the Christian group, within the remnant? The remnant has to be strong. And it doesn't mean that the remnant has to look all super fit like some super soldier. You have to have the will within you to accept that fierce and that ferocity of God to flow through you. You have to have the strength of Christ to be able to walk and stand in front of the Pharisees and to call them out for what they are. You have to have the strength of Christ to be able to walk into the market to flip tables and to chase out those evil money changers. You have to have the will and the strength of Christ to be able to walk through the crowd that once loved you, that now sits on the side cowering and shivering because you've been whipped and you have things thrown at you and because you're accused. And you have to be able to walk through that and still hold your prowess until the very end. If the lesson of Christ in his final walk teaches us anything, people, in my opinion, at their soul, are so deeply corrupted that they tread closely on the area of worthlessness. For they turned their back on Christ in the last moment, even his disciples, and why his disciples redeemed themselves over time. People's strength in the moment will go with the weakest, will follow the weakness rather than follow the strength. There was only a Roman soldier guarding Christ. Why did people not try to storm the cross and take him down? And simply for us to take those positions and say, well, that was part of the story, or God intended to him to be sacrificed. It doesn't change the reality that people themselves did nothing. And here we stand again at the cusp of something great, a moment in which humanity can define itself, a moment in which humanity can rise up and be God's children to lead this world back to him. The question is, will we do it? Will we have that boldness, that strength to stand in the gap? What would have happened if it had been thousands of people that it would have been demanding to be sacrificed with Christ, who would have violated the laws, attacked the Romans? What would have happened? I don't write that story, but imagine the difference to where God's children would have stood up and embraced that fight to stand up and say, you're not going to take him alone. Send me. This is where we are now. A decision that we have to make is if we are going to watch a few be sacrificed and fall for the many while the many sit aside on the sideline cowering and chewing on their fingernails wondering what's going to happen. Or whether you're going to see the millions of God-fearing patriots stand up and say, this is enough. This is not the way the nation works, and it will not go this way anymore. That defiance begins today, not tomorrow, but it begins today, if you have the will. Ephesians 1:11 to 18. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all of the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know that it is hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We have been given everything, and we've been offered the greatest inheritance one could ever conceive of, and more. We can't even imagine the inheritance of what awaits. But inheritances aren't just marking time until the end is here. Inheritances like this require a dedication to a path, a commitment, an unwavering commitment that you must never, ever vary from. And the deeper you dig into this path, the more conviction you must have to walk with God and to please God, to appease any of the demands that he puts before us. This is the time for something like that. And if you don't think you have that in you, then begin in prayer and try to discover it. Perhaps the path isn't for you, but I will tell you the options are dark if you choose not to follow. God has put us all here for a particular reason. And he's assembled the many to come together and to begin to start listening to what he's saying and hearing the words that he's putting before us. He's called for the reawakening, and those that are hearing it with ears to hear have begun to assemble. We're coming together in the great army. The real test will be what lies ahead. But I, for one, truly believe that as we walk into this path, and if you truly dig into your relationship with God, as long as you always remember to turn to him first, no matter what we face, we'll be able to conquer. This is truly an epic period in human history. It is a defining moment that will set us on a course of reclaiming our humanity or of falling to darkness and losing our relationship with God. Many times when you say something like that, people say, no, it won't. I'll never lose my relationship with God. You're right. You may not. But millions will. And it won't be retrievable. Not in the ways that we understand. This isn't about me. And those statements that I say are not about an I. They're about a collective us. Because we're all connected through God. We should all feel that pain and that sadness as we watch the many walk away, turn their back on their father. Because of a deception, because of a lack of understanding of him, it's because of a lack of understanding of what their true inheritance really is. We all should feel that pain. We should equally feel the humility that we share as we place ourselves before him and place our hope in him. That collective moment where we're willing to all bow, humble ourselves before him in pleading for his grace and his mercy. We also should feel the collective strength as we stand as a remnant, defiant, not obedient to them, but obedient to our Lord, the one God, the only true God, and walking within the body of our King, Jesus Christ. God has scattered us to the many places. Deuteronomy 4:27, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in the number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. This is so important to comprehend, because where we sit right now in this remnant, we're not seeing a physical wall, a physical army assembled on the field of battle, but instead we are a scattered remnant. And God's done that because he doesn't need a standing army. He needs dedicated operators to move within every group across this world and across this nation, to be able to be the beacons of light in the midst of much of the darkness, in neighborhoods where people have completely become vaccinated, in businesses where people have bowed down completely to their dark lords of obedience, in churches where churches have turned their back on Christ Jesus and taken salvation through a needle. That's where we stand strong. And maybe right now, showing that full beacon of light, when we might have to expose it slowly, but expose it we must, because we must lead those groups. You must find the ways to take those groups, those communities that you're in, and start peeling off one at a time. We are each now as if we are operating as disciples of Christ, scattered among the world, ready to move, and we should be moving now. Sharing the word of the gospel, sharing the word of Christ Jesus, and getting people aware of what the true purpose of this time and place is. For such a time as this is now, and for such a time as this means a dedication and commitment to your walk with Christ Jesus. It isn't to go door knocking and tell them if they don't accept Christ, they're all going to die tomorrow because of an earthquake, hurricane, something. It's the beauty of what God brings to them. It's the knowledge that as they learn and awaken who they are, they discover the greatest level of love, of compassion, of strength, of fearlessness to walk on this earth. For we were made in his image, and it is time that we begin to act like it. We're not just some remnant chunk of meat that God threw in the ground. We are the remnant as his children made in his image. And that is why they hate us so much. That is why they fear us so much. Consider all of the things that they have done over 100 years to try to destroy God's children. They've poisoned the water. They've poisoned the air. They've poisoned the food. They've poisoned the children with injections. And now again, they're moving to poison the globe, to exterminate it through another injection. They've devised methods in these injections to be able to control the mind, to try to willfully bring the body to their control. But the one thing they know they can't control, and why they hate us so much and fear us so much, is that the power of the Lord works so brilliantly through us, and the blood of Jesus heals so profoundly, that when we accept Christ within our heart, as long as we walk in that place, they cannot affect us. This isn't an after effect for those that took the injection and are now seeking salvation back to God. No, we stood with God in this place and time. It has not been easy, and it will not continue to get any easier. But it's that strength, it's that enduring strength that we have within the rock of foundation, and we place ourselves deeply within the rock of our faith within the Almighty Lord. And as we walk that path and we commit ourselves to him, we become the super soldiers of God. We didn't need a genetic modification. We didn't need any sort of twisted idea of taking some sort of injection to modify our DNA. That was already done when we accepted Christ Jesus, because in that process of reclaiming him, of having salvation, we were remade in the image of God's perfection. We were reborn. You see the profound nature of what we have right now? Do you see how powerful we are as people? You may not look in the mirror and see yourself as a super soldier. You may see yourself as many different things, the things that they want you to see. Maybe you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I'm getting old. Maybe you look in the mirror and you say, I'm overweight. Maybe you look in the mirror and you say, I don't have a beautiful face. Where did that come from? Because it didn't come from God, because God made you in his image. And while we can discuss the issues of body maintenance and health and where we are in this day and age, you nonetheless are a child of God, a glorious creation in the image of the Creator himself. So where does all that negativity come from? Well, we know where it comes from. It comes from them because they have done such a miraculous job of seeding into us these dark and negative images that we end up fighting and struggling with ourselves to try to claim our own strength again, because they've beaten us down to believe that we're nothing more than a chunk of meat, that we're a wandering bunch of cattle, that we need to have herd mentality and herd immunity, because to them, all we are is harvestable things, experiments to play with. We are a lesser subclass, and for them, we need to be exterminated. If we allow them to win this fight, we have turned our back on God. God did not make us a subclass. God made us the superior class because we are made in his image as the children of God. And as superior class, we were entrusted with the idea of stewarding this world, all that he created, of occupying this land, not as tyrants, but as representatives and ambassadors of him and his word. He sacrificed his only son for us to give us an inheritance back to him, as long as we would accept Christ Jesus in our heart and walk with him in this world. He didn't ask us to worship Christ's mother, Mary. He didn't ask us to worship the lords, the fake gods, the idolatry that permeates everywhere. He asked us to accept Christ Jesus in his heart, our Lord and Savior, and through Christ to the Father, put him above all things in this world as he is on the throne. This time is a time when the remnant, no matter what it looks like physically, has to find its strength spiritually to lead the world, to demonstrate again what it is to be strong and a warrior in this world. Everyone who has Christ within their heart has that capability to do that. But the key word is lack of fear. You cannot live with fear. Fear not. And you have to believe in what God has given you within you. You can't be weak in that belief. If you're going to doubt yourself, then you're doubting God. God did not have you here because he doubted you. He has you here because he believes in you, because he loves you, because he knows that he can trust in you and count on you. And so we must now rise. On the 26th, next week, begins what we hope will be the greatest moment in our history, if not human history. This is what we pray for. Not a moment with fireworks and parades and fanfare. A moment of patriots coming together to humble themselves here and around the world on the glory of God. Just humble ourselves before him, to pray for the healing of this land and to allow the strength of that glory flow through us, to allow us to rise and become the force of change for this nation. We can't expunge all of the evil, but what we can do is commit to a path that each one of us works within our local communities and reassumes the power positions of the communities, takes hold of those influencing positions to steer the communities back to that faith and glory in God. We are truly a nation under God. But that nation may account for only a very few by proportion, but it will be a great power when we unite together to work in common march and common concert together to reclaim this land from our local communities upwards in the name of the Lord. We have to have that commitment. And it has to be a conviction, to do so in whatever capacity you do that in. We have to get hold of the churches or shut them down that defile and defame the word of God. We don't need 501c3 churches, 501c3 churches. We don't need churches more consumed with what donations they're getting. What we need are the ecclesia in our communities that will look out for the communities. They're there to speak the word of God and to truly have the strength in which Christ gave us, not to succumb to the politics and fear porn that is put around us, but to understand that in our Constitution, when it said that there is a separation between church and state, what that meant is the churches had the freedom to speak on all things, and most importantly, to speak on the accountability of government, not only to the people, but to its place in front of God. But if we don't make that effort, if we don't become the force of change, nothing will happen. At some point it may, but remember this, nothing happened except one thing in the times of Noah. God pulled aside the one that would listen. He pulled aside that one to have him collect all the animals and beasts of the world. And he did it, and then he flooded the world to destroy everything else and start over. There is a remnant now which has the opportunity to stand in the gap. It has grown. It has strength. It has roots. And it stands on the rock of faith. The question is, can we come together and unite in a common purpose of what we need to do? So many times we hear, what should I do? What can I do? Well, you begin as everyone begins in that, to answer that. You begin on your knees to humble ourselves before him and to accept his glory and his love in our life, to accept Jesus Christ within us as a process of salvation and through that be remade and regain the strength that God intended us to have. Then we have to build community of common minds. Sometimes that's the only one in a sea of non-believers. Work quietly, work steadily. Remember the force and the power that Paul created through that sort of momentum. And as you build, start identifying the places where you can have bigger impact and grow your strength, grow your fellow believers with you. This is a war, patriots. This is a war. And we must, in order to win this war, it is going to take us all working as insurgents, as the disciples did in their time. We must work through the system to change the system. You can't be expecting to have a group of a white horse riding in at the sudden last moment to save you. And whether or not we are in the book of Revelation or we are somewhere else, it makes no difference to what our mission is. God made it very clear that only he would know the time. Christ told us that. Only the Father will know the exact time. So why waste our time wondering when he's going to arrive? That was not ours to concern ourselves with. If I got a direct telephone call right now from God and he said, Christ is going to be there in 30 minutes, I would respond by saying, okay, I will see him. I will worry about that God in 29 minutes and 45 seconds. I would work until the very moment that Christ was here. Not that I don't believe, but I can guarantee you if people got that phone call, many people would say, okay, well, I need to shower. I need to shave. I need to clean the house. I've got 30 minutes. Oh, my goodness. And I still have to drive to the location. Not me. Because my mission is here to serve the Lord, to do the task that he's asked me to do, and to fight for his glory, not to be attentive to the return of the King. When the return of the King comes, we will know, and it will be unmistakable, and all will bow. But until that moment, my mission's first. My mission to stand in the gap, to occupy this land, and to be relentless in the pursuit of expanding this kingdom, always. So this is a time to make some hard and very clear decisions. A time for us to decide where we truly are in this fight. You're either in the ring or you're not. Before us, we have witnessed one of the greatest deceits in modern history. A government that turned its back so quickly on a people that it has made promises to over 20 years to now watch fecklessly on the side as they were slaughtered. That same government is leading this nation. That same government is the government that is using the FBI to issue illegal warrants. It's the same government holding over 300 patriots in jail. It's the same government that's arranging insiders to create fake, false claims to put the finger on patriots. This government has nothing to do with this nation. It has everything to do with bowing this nation to the evil New World Order. So where do we stand? Are we going to stand in the gap? Are we going to raise that sword of the Spirit and boldly go forward, defying everything that they say because we are not of this land? Or are we going to succumb to their petty idle threats, to be fearful of the things that they might or could do to us, and shake and quiver and not trust in the Lord? Trusting in the Lord right now could take us many different places, some good, some bad. But as long as you understand that what you're doing is walking God's path as he intended, no matter where you arrive is where he needs you to be. And when you accept that point right there, nothing else matters. And in the end, no government can stand that's not with God and with its people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed be in this time. We are blessed to be able to see the deceit and the evil that has lurked around us. We are blessed to begin to understand the true sense of what this nation had become and has become over the many years, as a tool to suppress and destroy the world through its governance and submission to the greater intent of darkness, rather than a government built with you on its throne. Lord, in this time, a true second American Revolution, a true spiritual awakening and revival of this nation, we ask that you'll guide us, protect us, and allow the strength of this remnant to rise, not mildly, but boldly, to stand in the gap fearlessly, and to press into this fight. And we know, Lord, that there will be those that will suffer such a pain to do such a thing. Give them the strength to walk that path that you need them to walk, no matter who they are. Allow them to stand in that gap boldly and to be the force in which you intend to bring change and to bring your glory back to this earth. For we are not of this world, and we only are doing missions in this world to occupy this land and expand your kingdom. So, Lord, I say, send me. And if those that choose, they should say the same, to send me and accept wherever that is that you have put us here in that place for your intent. And as long as we abide by with that obedience to walk that path, let that glory reign and let the world see the strength of your children as they rise, and they do so in your holy name. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. A lot ahead. And each day is a recommitment to that path. It doesn't just get done once. We can say it once in the morning, but we have to every day continually reinforce that commitment. And every day is a different day. You're going to awaken with different levels of sleep, different thoughts on your mind. That's part of this chaos which they create. And one day you rise and you feel you have hope. The next day they want you to feel like you have depression. There's no hope. Ignore all of that, because in God's line, there is only one true path, life. And that's the inheritance which he offers. There's not an up and a down. There's not a maybe one day and not maybe another. It is only one thing. We know that God wins, and God wins through us. So hold that line. Walk that line with conviction and with glory, knowing that None of this other makes any difference in the end. But our role has to become more convicted to the singular path of standing boldly, of being heard, and of proclaiming ourselves as who we are in this world. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. This is a time when our prayers build that strength, but equally, not only in our humility before Him, but in our ability to stand. So stand boldly, for God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. Have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand. What the